Okay, it's 5:30, and as soon as we get the recording started.
Recording in progress.
Okay, it's 5:30, and I call this meeting of the Expanded Budget, Capital, and Personnel Committee to order. You will notice in your agenda packet a document called a resolution creating a community resiliency fund program. I wanted to reiterate for everyone that this document was not necessarily meant to be a resolution that we would pass. It was meant to be a framework for our conversation. I want to thank Rich John for getting this effort started. Rich and I talked about this, and we agreed that to go into this discussion with 14 people and not having some sort of framework would not necessarily be productive. So this is what we meant to accomplish with the document. That said, I guess we ought to just proceed with the discussion and see everybody's preferences are in terms of the timing of a program, dedicating a particular amount of money from the general fund balance at this point in time, or proceeding with some sort of resolution that would allow us to construct the program under which we would be distributing these funds. So that said, I think the only thing that I can say for certain is that we've been asked not to call this a community resiliency fund program simply because we want to avoid confusion with the DPS resiliency program that is part of that department's planning for emergency response and recovery. So I guess just for the sake of tonight's conversation, we're going to call this a community recovery fund program. If somebody's got a better suggestion, I'm certain we'll all be happy to hear it. And having said that, I'd be happy to hear everyone's thoughts because this is going to be a conversation and a group decision. So who'd like to start? Shauna.
Thank you, Deborah. I did read the resolution, and there were some emails going back and forth over the weekend. And I get the idea behind us receiving these ARP funds and us wanting to send them out the door to our nonprofits, to our community organizations, to childcare. I mean, we all have great ideas of how we want to spend the funding. My biggest concern right now is that we are in the middle of COVID, and it appears that we are going to have perhaps an even harder time and a more of a struggle and more of an uphill battle than we've had in the past. And we know that over the past 15 months, we have spent $27 million taking care of the people that live in our community. And the last thing that I want to do with this $19 million is allocate this funding, spend this funding, and then for us to have nothing in the bank whenever we need it over the next few months. What I would propose is for us to wait for the next 3 to 6 months and see where COVID is headed. We have 40,000 students that are going to embark upon Ithaca over the next few weeks. And my guess is we're going to see many, many positives. We already have 10 in the hospital right now. That's the greatest number that we've had since the pandemic started. So I would try and appeal to my colleagues as much as possible that we hold on to this funding and that we do not spend it. And we know in the future we're going to be paying for testing for our constituents, for the people that live here. We're also going to be paying for our employees to be tested. And we also have talked about the importance of having a compensation study that I believe is a huge priority for the county. So I would not vote for this, and I do hope that everyone keeps an open mind. Thank you.
Yeah, just to clarify for the benefit of anyone who's watching, we're not talking about spending the ARPA funds. We have already decided to use those for county operations, and the bulk of them will go towards cash for capital. What we are talking about here tonight is creating a fund out of our fund balance to put towards a grant program for community recovery projects. So that said, I have Mike Sigler and Henry.
Well, I disagree with that characterization a little bit. I mean, the fact of the matter is we took this money in from the federal government, and yes, the money, we now have it. And just to dovetail off of something Shauna just said, we're in the middle of COVID. Well, we don't know if we're at the middle or closer to the end or closer to the beginning, but we're certainly in the midst of it. Wouldn't it make sense to, the ARPA funds were 19 point something million dollars, wouldn't it make sense to at least spend half of that money? I mean, the problems are here now. We can hang on to the money for a rainy day fund, but it's been raining. It doesn't seem to make any sense to me to hold on to this any longer. Frankly, if it was up to me, I would take at least half of the money and block grant it out to the organizations that have said they need it. The one thing I would change about this is more on the economic development side. We can add that in. And that's something I would suggest we do. I think we're open to that because we're creating a system on people being able to apply for this money. And I don't see any more reason to kind of wait for that. It's not like we're hearing stories that everything is okay, and they haven't been okay for quite some time. Kind of what are we waiting for, I guess would be my question. So thank you.
Okay. I will say, Mike, though, that we have passed a resolution with respect to the ARPA funds, and so this is money that's coming out of our general fund balance. I mean, we couldn't take ARPA funds and put it aside because the Treasury regulations would not allow us to do that. I mean, you may feel that in the end, money comes in, money goes out, it doesn't make a difference. But I think
that's not what I said at
okay.
all.
Well,
but the understanding of this legislature was we were taking that money so that we didn't have to do all the federal reporting and that money would be used for the community. And I'm hearing that we're not planning to do that by certain people. So.
Okay. All right. Just as long as we understand where the various monies are coming from. All right. I have Henry, Rick, Martha, and Annie.
Yes. I'd like to take issue with Sean on a couple of issues. One, he said that if we use the money, we'll have no money left over by COVID. Well, we're talking about a fund balance that's $48 million. I don't think we're talking about spending $48 million. We're only talking about spending a small portion of it. And there would still be money left over after we took the money. Secondly, in terms of colleges, in fact, I mean, Cornell has a, 94% vaccination rate? Their vaccination rate is way higher than the county's. And so I don't think, and also they're both requiring students to be vaccinated. And both IC and Cornell basically have processes where if you don't get vaccinated, you're disenrolled. And so I, again, would walk sort of carefully on accusing that we're going to be inundated with infections from Cornell because, you know, all from the colleges. Also, I mean, along with Mike's theory is that, look, I mean, the ARPA money was given to us to help with COVID recovery. And, you know, and I don't see, you know, holding on to the money as really helping the COVID recovery. We're not doing any stimulus with it. We're just holding on to it, doing cash for capital. Also, we only assigned $15 million for cash for capital, which still leaves like $4 million and change, which can go into the survey study. And so I don't see any of your, I don't really see, you know, any of your concerns. But again, that's just me.
Okay.
Can I just ask a clarifier, Henry? $4 million and change to go where? I missed what you said.
Oh, yeah. We're spending $15 million on cash for capital. And then the other $4 million is just for the county to recover. And so that could be used for the salary survey.
Thank you.
Okay. Rich.
Yeah, in our earlier discussion about this issue, we used the term a handshake, that we wanted to avoid undue reporting requirements, and we clearly fit the formula to take the money into the county, which we've done. The handshake was that we would have this meeting and start the process on what do we do next. I take Shauna's point that we don't know what's going to happen in the future, and one of our responsibilities is for the county to be strong, that we are ready. And we've demonstrated that, I think, early in the pandemic, and we don't know how much longer it will go, but we need to remain ready. And we have fund balance in order to do that. What I also think we should be doing, and particularly in the spirit of this term, the handshake, is we should be looking at lessons learned and inviting projects to address particular deficiencies to make us stronger as a community, in the short term and in the longer term. And what I'm thinking is that we commit, I would say, 2021 through 2025. So we have a five-year period of time that we do three and a half million every year to these projects, and that we develop a vetting process to do that, but that's the commitment we make to the community. We can do this, I believe, because, one, we have a very large fund balance, but because we're doing cash for capital, we are going to reduce our draw on our capital accounts and our borrowing accounts because of using that money. So we're going to be adding to our fund balance, hopefully at a faster rate than we already have. So we may be able to do quite a bit of this without really depleting our fund balance down too far. Obviously, we need to watch the math pretty carefully year by year. But in setting a policy, that's the direction I would like to see us go. Thank you.
Thank you, Rich. Martha?
Thank you. I would agree with a lot of what's been said about the availability, the fund balance. I'm looking at the minutes from that last expanded budget committee meeting. We voted on the ARPA funds and then sort of turned right around to consider using fund balance. Dave moved and Annie seconded $10 million from the fund balance. Then Henry moved and Shauna seconded to amend that amount to $15 million. So, and then we said, okay, look, it's really late. Let's have another meeting to talk about that. That really was the understanding under which I voted for 100% ARPA money to county uses. So, you know, yeah, I think that's where we are. And even though Delta is scary and we're back here with masks on, I think there's a lot of reason county taxpayers and county residents can feel comfortable that we can do both of these things. We have the resources to respond to the continuing crisis, and we have the resources to help recover. The whole point of the recovery fund, the Recovery Act at the federal level, was that we now see gaps and problems and inequities in the community, and we need to build back better. So I really believe we have the room in the fund balance. We have reasons to expect, as Rich said, the fund balance is going to grow. We've put ourselves in a good position over the years, and I think we can feel quite comfortable that $48 million is way more fund balance than actually is responsible for us to hold on to. We should put that money to work, not $48 million. We should put a meaningful amount into the community to start working for our residents, to invest in things that are going to pay off in the future, whether it's child care or more housing or broadband or any of the things. And I appreciate Rich and Deborah's writing up. You know, the first draft of anything is the hardest. So thank you very much for putting this down. The categories that you listed are certainly valid. I know there's a lot of discussion about maybe they should be broader categories. How much time should we allocate this for? How should we do it? Especially like the idea of setting up a working group to hammer out those kind of important pieces to then propose to the full legislature. But I really think people need to feel comfortable we have the resources and the community needs us to take this kind of action to make this money work for the community.
Thank you, Martha. Annie?
Thank you, Deborah. So I passed this out, this resolution. It's the, you should have it in front of you, resolution creating a community recovery fund program submitted by legislators Henry Granison, Ann Corman, Martha Robertson, Leslie Schill, and Mike Sigler. So I had originally passed this out for discussion, but in talking briefly with the chair, Deborah Dawson, and I thought maybe the other resolution was going to be moved, the draft one. But since that one's not, and because this one is somewhat fleshed out, I'm going to go through it. I'd like to bring this to the floor. And if,
Is that a motion?
I'd like to move this onto the floor, and I'm going to go through it.
And I see Leslie Schill seconds it.
So because it's very, at the absolute last minute, could I take some time to go through it?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so overall...
I guess maybe Mike raises a good point of order that we should vote on whether to add it to the agenda since it's not officially on. All in favor of adding Annie's motion to the agenda? Okay, so 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. All right, that's all opposed. That's 4. Okay, so we can add it to the agenda.
Point of order, Madam Chair. We're an expanded budget committee. Are we under the rules that a majority of the people in the room carries on a vote? I think rather than 8 as we are when we're the legislature?
For the purposes of adding this to the agenda, I'm not sure it matters. But
I understand. We got to 8, I guess.
But I guess I would defer to Kathy because she knows all.
Yes. Well, we just addressed that in our revision of the rules, I believe. We talked about this, didn't we?
Well, I know at the legislature level, it would require 10 votes to add a resolution to the agenda.
And I don't have my copy of the revisions. Are they around?
And Amanda's not here, and we're in deep trouble.
Are they over here? Or?
But I think it's always been that the that at EBC...
Well, the EBC is not a standing committee and is not a committee that's listed on the legislature agenda. So, but I thought that when we vote something at EBC, it carries by majority of the people in the room.
That's correct, amendments to the tentative budget.
Well, I think to solve this problem, that as I imagine it, whatever the consensus is of tonight's meeting, it will be memorialized in a resolution that will then go to the legislature, whether it goes through a special BCP meeting or directly to the legislature as a member filed. It is not going to be up to us tonight to pass this in a way that makes it binding on the county. Would that be right, Kathy?
This resolution has been filed as an individual member filed resolution and will appear on the legislature agenda that way for next Tuesday.
All right. So I guess this discussion's been really enlightening but has no impact, and we can just try to get a consensus tonight on this particular resolution. Does that work for everybody? Forgive me, people. I am still learning this procedural stuff. If it weren't for Kathy, I would be, like, so lost. Now, I know. I noticed that Leslie and Shauna have their hands up. Do you want to raise an issue before Annie explains her resolution?
If we want this on the floor, I am willing to change my vote so that we could get this on the floor for discussion, if that's the route that we want to go to. If we need 10.
If we need 10?
Yeah.
I mean, let's discuss this, people, because we're either going to have to do it tonight or we're going to have to do it next week.
Or both.
Or both, yeah.
Probably both.
So that would be one.
I'm thinking that since this is the EBC,
right,
similar fashion of when we do EBC things, we don't need a vote for someone to bring an amendment or an issue or something. You know, usually we send it all to Kevin and he says, we've got this. We only need a vote when we're going to pass the thing or not. So is it your intention, Annie, to get a vote on it, or you just wanted it on the floor for discussion? Because you said you want to go through it since it was last minute to folks.
I'm okay either way.
Well,
I don't know. What do you think, Deborah?
Well, I think that the best course would be to try to get this discussed and to reach some sort of consensus tonight, so that we can then vote on it properly in the legislature next week, and perhaps save some time at that meeting.
So are you suggesting perhaps pull it as a moved resolution and just have it as a discussion topic?
Kathy?
I'm sorry.
Do you want to just have this as a discussion topic and not a resolution?
Well, why don't I read the paragraph that's in the rules of the board that addresses the expanded budget meeting? It says, for the purposes of making recommendations on the proposed Tompkins County budget and capital program, the budget committee shall be expanded to include all legislators. The expanded budget committee holds non-voting informational presentation meetings followed by voting meetings. A quorum shall consist of a majority of the whole legislature, and decisions shall be made by a majority of those in attendance at any given meeting. That's all the rules of the legislature's addresses as it relates to the expanded budget committee.
So that really nailed that custard pie to the wall. I guess we will treat this as a discussion item, Annie, and next week we will consider it as a member-filed resolution, but it will be on, as I understand it, it will be on the legislative agenda that's going to go out tomorrow morning, in which case it won't need 10 votes to get it added. It will be there, and hopefully we will have a relatively short discussion next week because we will have discussed it to death tonight.
Okay, so just procedural-wise, just in case I need to rescind my movement or take that back or something.
Withdraw
is the word I'm looking for. I'll withdraw it just in case.
That's fine, and I wish we could erase the last 10 minutes. We can't.
We'll never get that back.
Okay. So go ahead and explain what you're proposing.
Right. And the reason I'm bringing this up now, as we, hear about different views on what to do if we're going to have the fund, if we're going to move on it now, if people, want to talk about amounts and all that. So some of us reached out and had some conversations with various legislators. And so so this resolution talks about not committing certain amount of funds, or even putting not designating a certain amount of funds total, not designating them in certain pots, or when we would use the funds. What this just talks about is over the next month that we would just form a committee of heads of various chairs of various committees to look at setting up some type of process for if we were going to move forward, how would we do that? So in essence, why we came up with this was, okay, if we're not sure what we're going to do in the future, might we know in a month more what we don't know now? Possibly, possibly not, and then we can still talk about it. But this would be a first step, it seems, no matter what we were going to do. Well, I guess if we were going to do absolutely nothing, but if we wanted to do something now or 3 months from now, this kind of sets the stage of let's figuring this out. Did folks want me to still go through the resolution, or do you want to just take a minute and look at it?
Well, as I read it, Annie, it to a great extent tracks a lot of what's in the resolution that Rich and I worked on.
Correct.
It just takes amounts of money out of consideration, I guess, with the idea that maybe in 4 weeks or 6 weeks or 8 weeks we'll have a much better idea of what our fund balance is going to be at the end of this budget cycle and what the needs of our supported agencies will be.
Right, and I wasn't sure if, I know you guys had come up with, for instance, chairs of certain committees which start on the second page, the top of the second page, you know, or actually, no, that comes at the bottom of the first page, you know, so I looked at that. Are those the committee chairs we want? You know, I just copied what you guys had. Other than that, it's just starting to organize.
Right. I appreciate that. And insofar as which committee chairs would be on this working group or steering committee, that certainly is open to discussion as well. Like I said, I think Rich and I were more concerned about getting a framework for conversation out here and not a detailed resolution.
Right, and I think that did, at least, you know, some of us started talking about it and looking at it. And this, again, too, is something that is evolving from discussions. So open to hearing what people think.
Okay. Leslyn, you had your hand up, and then Martha has her hand up. You don't have anything to say? Okay. Martha?
Yeah, mainly what this resolution is subtraction from the resolution that went out with the agenda. And the meat of it is that last resolution resolved on the first page that goes to the second. So that this group be convened to develop the particulars of a fair and broadly accessible program for soliciting applications for community resiliency funding. I guess that should be recovery funding.
Yes, ma'am.
Through the pertinent program committees of the legislature, and to evaluate applications forwarded through the program committees for recommendation to the legislature through budget, capital, and personnel. So in other words, in the same way that we now have all sorts of funding go through program committee, then go to budget, capital, and personnel, and then to the legislature, that would be the process. And then those are five bullets that you had put in your earlier resolution. And I think that the idea of this working group or steering committee, there are questions about timing. How long should the funding go? What kind of commitment is it? How much money should we make it? Like X amount to go to this committee and X amount to that committee? Or should we just open it to the community and look at what do we get back? What are the proposals? There are a number of different ways to go through this. But the hope is that if it gets passed at the legislature next week, then there are three solid weeks before the September legislature meeting, and that committee can work through a lot of this and then bring it forth to the legislature in September.
Okay, thoughts from others? Leslyn.
So I can get behind the creation of a community recovery fund steering committee to sort of keep moving this process along and thinking through some of the things without a dollar amount attached to it, certainly. I also, this is what I wanted to say earlier and I remember, concerned when I hear, you know, Henry, I heard you, you know, talk about a $48 million in our fund balance.
you know, that's about 3 months' worth of county operations, a little less than 3 months' worth of county operations. Given what we have just experienced in 2020, that frightens me, that we're only 3 months. And we have had the conversation over a couple, several years about, did y'all talk about this already? Why is everybody looking at me like that? About changing our fund balance target, which I think we all sort of, most of us, and I'll speak for everybody, sort of agree that we probably should be looking at that. And so I'd be interested in knowing if this would be a group that could also be looking at that and bringing a proposal towards that, for us, because I don't feel necessarily comfortable saying we're spending monies out of our fund balance if we have not punctuated what we're doing in terms of our fund balance target. 3 months is not a lot. It's less than 3 months. I mean, we probably spend about $20 million a month on county operations, and we know with COVID everything has doubled and tripled, which is probably going to be more. So $48 million isn't going anywhere, really. So I would really love to see that considered before a whole, or in conjunction with, in tandem with this as well.
I take your point, Leslyn. I think that it should be up to BCP to deal with the issue of the fund balance policy that needs to be amended. I think by delaying the decision about how much of fund balance we're going to put into this program, we will give Rick and Lisa and BCP time to get a proposal to BCP that we can consider and then forward to the rest of you as to what the new fund balance policy should be, if it should be a quantum leap to the new figure all at one time, or as some of our colleagues have suggested, should it be phased in? I don't think that the steering committee should be the one that considers the new policy.
Right, and that's why the last thing I said is that in tandem, maybe there's someplace else that this is being worked on as well.
Yes. Okay, that's a good point. Mike, you had your hand up.
Yeah, just three things. Like, if this were to move forward, I would like to see F&I added to the list of committees. But I think Dave would be a good person to add on to it. My concern about what Leslyn had just said, though, is I guess then it's kind of opens the door to what would be enough. I mean, if 3 months is too short, would 6 months be enough? Because 6 months is $120 million. And I don't think there's anybody at the table would say, yeah, we should carry a fund balance of $120 million. I mean, we're talking about 23%, which, you know, that's actually less than what we have in the bank right now. So that's just something to ponder, too. I like what Rich said right at the very beginning about spending it. I would just shorten the timeline. I mean, you're talking 5 years. I would shorten it down to two. Frankly, when I was talking to Martha on the phone last night, I told her, listen, I think $10 million spent to April, and then we meet again for budgeting in April. Then we decide on, and I know that you don't like the idea of this being connected to ARPA, but I think it is. And then we release the other $9 million in April, or we at least set up a framework in April on how to release that the rest of the money. And by release, listen, I'm looking at this as kind of like being like STPB, where people put in an application. You know, we had Ithaca Neighborhood Housing come in and say, here's what I would do with $2 million. That's pretty good. And it's not like that we're setting that money on fire here. It's going into brick and mortar stuff. It's not going away somewhere. It's not going to be a continual cost either for that project anyway. And that's multiple projects. That to me is recovery. That to me was the purpose of this money. And it's the same thing like taxation. I hate when the lottery money gets put into the general fund and not towards schools. I, I think that's wrong. I think we make a covenant with taxpayers that we're going to take this money and we're going to spend it on this. And I literally see this money as that. We're promising recovery from this money. And that's the way I think we should go with it. So I don't mind ramping it out over a certain period of time. And maybe my time frame is too short for people. I mean, I want to bring more people to the table, not fewer. So if somebody has something in the middle, maybe I'm fine with that. But I can't see just holding on to this money. That's it. Thanks.
Okay, thanks, Mike. Martha, and then Rich.
I guess the starvation mentality is just, we didn't spend $27 million to take care of our people. We didn't lose $27 million. The $27 million figure is this weird artifact of the way the federal formula went, of you're supposed to calculate this and calculate that and, 4% and whatever. In fact, if we'd lost $27 million last year, our fund balance wouldn't have gone up more than a million. It would have gone down 27. I mean, we got $35 million in federal reimbursements last year. So all of this goes into the mix. Our costs also went down for decisions that we made, many of which will have ongoing savings, like the retiree, redoing retiree health care, redoing employee health care, reducing our roster. So it's not an accident that our fund balance went up. It was a result of conscious, smart decisions. And the reason it has been going up for years is because of a habit of conscious, smart decisions. And let me throw in another one that is going to help us in the out years that probably nobody's thinking of. In this crazy year, the state legislature also, by the way, passed legalization of marijuana. I mean, then we haven't heard a word about it since March, but guess what? Within a couple of years, that's going to get established. I think it'll be a profitable business in Tompkins County. We will see more revenue on a source that we haven't even envisioned. I think this government has built a very solid balance to be able to help the general community through this recovery fund. Our fund balance target is 10 right now, 10%. We've been saying it should be to 18%. Well, then Rick Snyder says, 18 to 23%. It's like the goalposts keep moving. And it doesn't affect our bond rating. He has said we've gotten all the mileage we can for our bond rating out of everything we've done, whether we have how big our fund balance is anymore is not relevant. So I think we don't have to operate out of that kind of fear. I think our community is in need, and I think it's time for us to respond.
Okay, I have Rich, Leslin, and Mike Lane.
Mike, to your point, let's horse trade. I think we're moving away from where we need to be by taking the numbers out and not trying to get to a definite program. What about 3 years, $5 million a year? I mean, that's enough money to have significant impact and at the same time not deplete our resources to the point where we leave ourselves exposed. As Shauna has, I think, correctly stated, that we can't read the future well enough right now. We have to be careful. At the same time, we do need to respond to our public, and we said we would when we took the ARPA funds. I would hope that the people at this table could think about it maybe in those terms of, let's do 21, 22, 23, $5 million a year. That's $15 million. That's a lot of money in a relatively short period of time. and it would have significant impact if we applied it appropriately. I agree setting up a working group might help us in the longer term, but we already have seven people on it and from the different committees, and then you know you say, well, facilities and infrastructure probably should be there, and probably public safety, because you could have projects involving ambulance service, for example. Then you're up to nine, and I think we're not getting closer to actually making a decision. I think we need, it's fine to have a working group, but we should give them direction of, here's the overall program that we're thinking about, and here's how we want to try to structure it. And if we could work on that today, I think we'd advance. Thank you.
Okay. I'd like to give Lisa an opportunity to jump in here. She had her hand up. But I will say that one thing that we're going to have to consider if we move forward with the proposal that five of you have brought forward is how to select the chairs of what committees to serve on this committee, because I honestly don't see why F&I needs to be on here. I mean,
I wasn't begging that public safety be on there, but
it's... No, I understand, and yeah. You and I had already talked about that. I mean, my rationale for including the committees whose chairs were part of this was that these would be the program committees that would be receiving proposals from the larger community. So we can address that later, but I've got Lisa, and then I have Leslin and Mike Lane, and then Martha and Mike Sigler.
Thank you, Deborah. So I'm hearing everyone's input and taking it into account. I do think, it's important to acknowledge the fund balance is higher than it probably should be, and it calls for a cautious and thorough approach as to how to spend it down. And that's, I think, the legislature has always approached budgetary matters in that way. So I think it's important to consider these decisions in the context of the budget process as well, and that making decisions to spend down our fund balance has to be woven into the overall needs of the county budget in its process, as well as in following our own fund balance policy, which now we don't have finalized. And I think that it is, those things have to happen in conjunction with one another, that we need the guideposts of a fund balance policy to help determine our endpoint in this, and that we need to understand in the larger context of where the needs are in our county and in the community organizations that we're obligated to support, and also acknowledging that I have a few things I wanted to touch on. Acknowledging where we've been and over the last year in terms of the needs of the employees, the positions that we've cut, and what we're trying to put back in our own budget. I hear the need and the desire to want to get money out and to meet the community's needs, and I think that we can do that, and we can set up a program that will get at and address what everyone is trying to achieve by doing that. But I would hope that we could consider doing that in the context of the fund balance policy goals, as well as the overall county budget process. So, which will be coming forward in the next month or so, month or two.
Thanks, Lisa. Yeah, I think that gives this a context and things that we all ought to be aware of. I have Leslyn, Mike Lane, Martha, Mike Sigler, and Shauna.
Deborah, I will pass.
Okay. Mike Lane.
I love this legislature. I really do. I've been listening here. I don't think a person has said anything tonight that wasn't honest, important, and I agree with. But whether we agree with what we're all saying because it's honest and it's from our heart and it's our effort to try to do something still leaves us to the position we have to make some reasonable decisions. I agree with Shauna and Leslyn that we could have many issues that we don't know will be coming yet. I agree with Mike Sigler that we probably need to get this out, some money out into the community. I agree with you, Rich. You made two of the points that I had intended to make. One, yes, F&I ought to be part of whatever discussion is, and so should public safety. F&I isn't just highways. F&I is things like recycling and materials management, things that that affect our every household in this community. And public safety, you mentioned ambulance service. We in the rural areas are starving for ambulance service in some of the communities. We said that we were going to allocate 75% for cash for capital, 25% for the other programs. If we get $10 million this year, 10% or 25% of that is $2.5 million. If we match that $2.5 million with the same amount out of fund balance, if we want to reduce fund balance, then we're talking $5 million. Rich, you were talking about horse trading. $5 million is something that it can be justified mathematically in my mind. Should it be $5 million for 3 years? No, I don't agree with that. I agree we do it year by year. But I think it would be all right to tag a figure that would give Lisa an idea of what we're talking about. And that's what I think we ought to do. That's my opinion.
Thank you, Mike. I have Martha, Mike Sigler, Shauna, and Leslyn.
I think Mike raised his hand at the same time. You go first.
Well, I just wanted to say, I mean, not only should F&I, I think, be included, while the Republican Party is a small minority, one-third of the county, it still is there. And I would just think you'd want somebody on the committee that was a Republican. So.
Mike Lane is chair of F&I.
Oh, okay, sorry. Well, however
you want to become a Democrat?
Yeah, well, another Democrat. But,
and let's be clear that this working group or steering committee is not going to make decisions about this program. They are going to put together proposals that will then be presented to the entire legislature for consideration, at which time all three of you will have input.
All right. I would just think you want that. But if you don't want that, that's fine.
Well, I mean, the only Republican chair we have is Dave McKenna, and that's downtown facilities. So, all right. So, Martha, Shauna, Leslyn, Annie.
I think I really think we can do all of the above. Now, for example, if we vote this out of, say, legislature next week, and the steering committee meets before September 7th and comes up with something, proposes something at September 7th, that would just be the framework. That's about when we're getting, or a week later we're getting your budget. I mean, we can ask the community. We need to, remember, we need to give the community time to come up with their proposals. We're not going to be vetting anything until we get something back from them. So that's minimum 4 weeks, maybe 8 weeks. We're certainly going to have budget information before we make any decisions. We're going to have budget information before we're going to make any decisions on these proposals from the community. So I don't think there's any problem here with actually kind of getting this process going, issuing a call to the community, and then we wait 4 weeks, 6 weeks to see what we get back. So I don't think there's any problem. I would say there's another theory here, and I think I saw this in an email from Dan Klein, which is, why don't we, you know, we don't know what the community wants to propose. I mean, I do have Sue Dale Hall's right up here for $2 million to increase child care slots. I could give you that. We heard from Johanna Anderson about $2 million for affordable housing projects that are in the pipeline right now that have budget gaps. I mean, those are a couple things we know of, but we could just kind of open it up to the community and say, okay, by, you know, October 15th, tell us what you would propose, and then see what we get and evaluate, pick the best projects. So this is the kind of, I think, nitty-gritty this steering committee might be best to sit down and really work out, because I could see doing it either way. But I think there won't be a problem with timing. We can do all these things at the same time.
Okay. Thank you, Martha. Shauna?
Yeah, so I just want to clarify whenever I made my first statement. I want to make sure that it wasn't as extreme as I think some of my colleagues took it. For one, I agree with you, Martha. I think we can eat and chew gum or walk and chew gum at the same time. And I think that I would be in favor of this resolution. The idea of setting up a committee to figure out the process moving forward absolutely makes sense. The one thing that I just want to keep at the front of the conversation is us looking at the funding and the money that's going out the door whenever we take care of our community moving forward with COVID, because we already know how much it costs to put people through testing. We're going to be testing a handful of our employees at, I don't know, $15,000 a week or month, or I mean, there's going to be a lot of money going out the door. We're going to be hiring some more staff coming up, and there's a lot of things coming in that we're going to have to pick up the tab for. We've always been conscious of that, and we've always, I mean, legislators before us have done an amazing job, and that's why we have such a healthy fund balance. I really like Mike's idea about us thinking of a number and putting it out there and committing for next year. To me, that makes sense. I feel like we can look a year in advance and feel comfortable putting $5 million or $10 million aside and having that money go out the door. I'm not sure I would feel comfortable about doing that for future years. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Okay, I have Annie Leslin and Dave McKenna.
I just wanted to make two quick points. One, regarding what Mike Sigler said, I would like to see if we could figure out some way to make sure both parties or all parties are represented, if we could, on this, if we go ahead with a plan like this. And then this second thing, I had a good conversation with Shauna over the weekend, and, you know, and I hear what she's saying, and other people are saying similar things that, you know, concerns about the future. And so I'm hearing flexibility, which is what I've been, you know, which is really good. I'm really glad to hear that, that everybody's not set in stone, that we're open to hearing each other, and I really appreciate this conversation. I do want to just, again, last thing is remind people that we did, as other people have already said, we did say we were going to spend some money very soon, and I mean, at least for me, thinking at that point, I don't know if anybody said it. I mean, we knew this pandemic was, we're still in the midst of it. So I'm not surprised at what's going on in the community right now. I wish it wasn't as far as COVID, but to me, it's not surprising. So, having 20 something years of previous legislators to help us build this fund balance up for a rainy day and emergency, to be able to commit some money now and then, next year, you know, depending on how things are, if, you know, then that legislature could decide, hey, we actually can't afford this because it was much worse, even though a certain amount was committed before. So thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Annie. I've got Leslie and Dave.
Thank you. This is a great conversation. Really appreciate everybody's input. Oh, I'm sorry. Was it Leslyn or Leslie? I didn't hear.
Well, that was my mistake.
I'm sorry.
My pen ran out of ink. Oh, you guys are driving me crazy.
You want to go?
We get the lessons confused. Go ahead. I spoke already.
I'm sorry about that.
I'm still collecting my thoughts.
Me too. I appreciate hearing from Lisa and, you know, the situation that the county government is facing right now and trying to recover internally. We are doing our own government recovery, right now as we go into budget season. Nobody needs to be reminded that many in the community have not yet recovered, businesses, nonprofits, individuals. I do agree that there was a handshake made, and I would like us to see that through. We made a financial and logistics and administrative decision around this funding to come into our fund balance. You know, ARPA funds had restrictions that could have been a little bit onerous and could have cost time, money, energy right now. And we thought this would be a better way to do it. But we did that, in my mind, thinking that we would be able to utilize. We didn't put a time on it, but we thought about doing it. I at least proposed on the original night that we follow the timeline of ARPA without all the restrictions that come with it. Thinking about commitments by 24, spending by 26, some ideas. They don't have to be those timelines, but I like the time bound. I like the fact that if we're going to make a commitment to the community to put some of this money back into the community, real money, substantial money, something that will really make a difference, that we follow the same rules that we would want, something that meets a SMART goal and that's time bound and that it's a real commitment so that people can know and depend on it. We know that our county government, our administration, needs to depend on what the figure will be to move forward and be fiscally responsible. I think people in the community need that same level of commitment. I like the idea of, you know, building a process. I think once folks have an opportunity to see what a process could look like, you know, we have a couple great examples already in county government. We've already talked about STB. We can also talk about the Community Development Housing Fund, which has been incredibly successful, multi-year, multi-partnership, pulling and scraping dollars together at the front end of that. But now, many years down the line, an incredibly successful model that leads in developing affordable housing in this community. And now we're out of money. Now we're spending that thing down because it's grown so successful. Like, we can spend this money and have it make a real meaningful impact in our residents' lives. I think we should. I'm not in a rush, but on the flip side, not committing is a way to, we'll always have other priorities. We will never know what's coming next. And so I would say I would like us to make a brave decision and look at the number that we think is reasonable and commit to it, and commit to it for a couple few years. And just like some of these other funding rounds, you know, when situations change, you can review that, right? We should definitely look at this in parallel with our getting ready to start budget season. These things are clearly going to line up because setting up a committee and setting up an application form, putting it out, soliciting information, setting up criteria, all the stuff that a process requires is going to take a little bit of time. I don't know if we need 9 or all 14 members on this committee. It could be 3 people, you know, whatever it is. I think that putting something out there and asking for the great projects, needs, initiatives that the community is going to know. We know a lot of things. I have a whole list. Everybody has a list. But there are plenty of things we don't know about that could be transformative for this community. And I think we weren't expecting this money to come in like this. And this is a moment where we can take the opportunity to maybe think a little broader than we would, and that we do have a healthy fund balance, and we want to maintain that. It's critical. But I think that we can do both and do it well. Thank you.
Thanks, Leslie. So Dave and then Leslie.
Okay. All right, well, I think the $5 million for 2 years is not careless use of the money. I really do think we can do that.
I'm sorry, Dave, $5 million for 2 years is what?
I just don't think it's careless use of the money.
Can you put the mic close to your
thing? Yeah, I can try.
Is it a what use?
For each of
I don't think it's careless use of that money, and you know, taking the fact that it it's basically free money. Okay, we got the ARPA funds. Effectively, we're trading them for capital funds, and we're going to put the capital funds out in the community because we got discretion to do what we want with those funds. I think we should do it for a couple of years and reevaluate. I think we should reevaluate every year, but I mean, just basically reevaluate whether we want to do it beyond the 2 year period. And I really think we need to do this because there are various entities out there that are really hurting and they need the money. And it was given to us for the purpose of making things better. And I think we have a responsibility to go ahead and do that. So I think we should go ahead with it, you know, in a short period. And if we need a committee to make an evaluation of somebody's application or a bunch of applications, so be it. But let's get it out there and let's get it done. That's my two cents.
Thank you, David. Leslie.
So thank you for bearing with me. I'm just collecting my thoughts about a harrowing couple of hours. First, thanks to those of you who thought about this, came up with, you know, the idea. I think it's a great idea. I absolutely love the idea of a recovery and recovery fund. When Henry was
sorry, can you pull the mic closer?
When Henry was talking about, you know, how much we committed to cash for capital and what's left, I kept thinking, well, maybe that's what we say to the committee, here's how much money we have to spend. Well, thank you, Mike, for your thought around that, because I think that was a great idea, and it's actually something that I feel I can support to put a number to it, as Rich said, and not just, you know, go out there and come up with something. $5 million for a year to the community. You know, Martha, I heard you about the, you know, the goalpost. It's not a frivolous idea that comes about. It's not somebody's just making it up. Our controller, you know, in meeting with associations throughout the state, you know, talk about these things, and they always come back, and have been coming back for years and telling us. So my brain went to the days of Mark Finkelstein and Barbara Blanchard on the radio, when we at one point had extra money, and Barbara would say, we need to save it for a rainy day, and Mark would say, no, we need to give it back to the people. And they'd go back and forth. And I remember some of the giving back to the people, and then the crap hit the fan when the depression or the recession? I don't ever know which one is which one.
The Great Recession.
We were sweating bullets because we weren't quite sure. So we started adding to our tax base, a 0.25% here for to support TCAT and this much more to support these other things to make sure that we can continue to support and our citizens were feeling the squeeze in mortgage recording tax or whatever it was. You know, we did a few of those things. So I'm the scaredy cat in the room who think about, yeah, 4 years from now, because we know the cycle of recessions and depressions and what else, and with COVID and who knows what else is coming, what could happen? So I would not be willing to commit large sums of money for multiple years, but how about we really look at whatever percentage is left that we have not committed to cash for capital or to county, and use that to bring it back out into the community and say, here's a start. And as Dave said, the next year we reevaluate, and we might add $2 million more to, you know, that $5 million the next year. We don't know. See how the funds are coming in and what we can do. And yet, again, I said, I'll admit, I'm definitely the scaredy cat in the room when it comes to making sure that we can protect county operations. Now, a lot of the changes that made us come out of this, well, we're not out of the pandemic yet, but the height of it in a good way, I'm very thankful to the staff and to administration for bringing all those ideas to us and the folks who were willing to get laid off or not have positions filled and all of those things. It wasn't, as Martha said, easy work. People really thought about that and brought those things to us, and we made decisions around them. So I think it will be great to have this group of people. I will agree with whoever the team is that we put together. I don't care who's on the team. Just don't put me.
working. Here's that honesty we love.
Right. You know, look, I'm going to be gone soon, and there are people who are going to be here, people who, you know, will continue to work. Constituents are going to be looking to them. I want to give those folks the opportunity. And I don't want to be there so that my colleague Mike Sigler can be on the committee, because if I'm there, he can't, you know. So I want to respect that my Republican colleague can be there. So put the team together. I wouldn't mind actually suggesting a $5 million as a starter for this year, out of the $10 million we're going to get, or $9.whatever million. And then again, as I said, revisiting next year to see, do we add some more? Do we have some excess money come in? You know, did the casinos get back on track? I always look at Mike when I talk about casinos. We said, don't trust that casino money. Get back on track, and it's flowing in, that we can push that out. Let's do that and look at a process as we have had with the SCPB, and we've done this before. So it's not like we don't have a blueprint for how to, you know, encourage and solicit applications and so on. My only hesitation with all of it, it's not a hesitation. My only request, I would say, of all of it is that we don't just as legislators do this in a vacuum. We really have to include staff. We really have to include administration in this, because some of the applications that will probably come in, staff and administration might know of other things that they have going with them. Let's see how all those things are clashing. So whatever committee gets put together, please let's make sure that admin is involved as well. That's it.
Yeah, to address that concern, Leslin, that was one of the reasons that one of the resolutions that will be coming up next week was to fund an additional budget analyst position in admin to deal with the ARPA reporting. And I ask that we include a provision in there that person would also provide some administrative support for this program.
That's an additional position?
An additional position, right. And my thinking was that that person would be situated to make sure that any synergies that exist between our budget operations and the monies that we put out in this program would be coordinated through admin. Martha, you had your hand up.
Yeah, I mean, 18%, and if we go back to up to the $200 million budget, 18% of the $200 million is $36 million. We have 48. So 18 is already, like, whatever the standard was that Rick, I can't remember, the GFOA or something.
GFOA.
I remember that? Okay.
Excellent.
18% is almost twice what our current target is. When he said 18 to 23, I said, why 23? He didn't really have a, he didn't have an answer. But, I mean, so, just, you know, the ARPA is 20. It's not five. I mean, and we voted, maybe I misheard you, Leslie, but we voted for all of it to go to county needs. So there's not anything, unless we change that vote, there's not anything left for community projects. Let me just say, when Johanna Anderson came and talked about the housing, INHS, how they might use $2 million, for example, the six, I can't remember the list, she didn't give us, didn't write it down for us, but like $600,000 in legal fees just for the Trumansburg project that's been struggling for 3 years, that is like the picture book mixed income, mixed ownership rental kind of project with a nursery school daycare center too. So $600,000 for legal fees just for that one. Every project has increased labor costs. Every project has increased lumber and every other supply chain problem. She also has been working with OAR and URO. They want to do a whole new house for recovery for people coming home from incarceration. They want to do a new house, and INHS would buy and build the house, you know, renovate the house and do that part of it that OAR, you know, was very brave and sort of did on run the first time. OAR and URO would run it. INHS would build it. These are the kinds of things we could do. I mean, most of these projects you talked about have been in the works for years with investments of time and money and everything else, and are going to fail because of current funding gaps. The one new thing, as I remember it, was this OAR house. I mean, this is an opportunity. We've been given an opportunity, and we are strategically using ARPA for county purposes, which is going to pay us back for years, $1 million, $1.5 million, $2 million a year, relief on our operating costs. And we have this community that's got wonderful ideas and energy and passion around doing brave things that, look, Finger Lakes Reuse. How many of us have talked to Diane Cohen for like 5 minutes? There are a million ways she could turn money into gold. And as I said, Sue Dell Hall's proposal. So I would just like to let people imagine the good we could do here. This is a unique opportunity. We've never had this opportunity before. I hope we use it.
Okay, Rich, and then I have a few things to say.
Yeah, I just, from a planning standpoint, I believe there is benefit to trying to state a number for future years. As the resolution makes clear, we cannot bind future legislatures, and we certainly would reevaluate if there was a major change. But knowing that there is a target that we're trying to reach each year would really help from a planning standpoint. But if the will of the legislature is, let's set a number for this year, then let's do that. Right, I I don't object to having some sort of steering or planning committee, but you need to give them some parameters so they're not just starting over. And again, if we could make some decision today, we're an hour and 15 minutes into the meeting, if we could achieve consensus on a number, we'd actually would have achieved something here. I don't disagree with Mike Lane's proposal. Let's say five right now and then not plan for the future. I'd prefer that we did, but I could live with that. That's a meaningful amount. I think that there could be real good community impact from targeting that money in appropriate ways. Why don't we try to vote on that?
I'd like to interject here. I mean, I've been listening to y'all for an hour and 15 minutes, and I've kind of not said anything. There are some things I'd like to respond to. I appreciate that people want to be able to put a number on this tonight. I appreciate that people are frustrated and impatient. I also hear our county administrator tell us that the best time to do this, to put a number on this, is in conjunction with our new fund balance policy and our budget process, which is only going to require that we wait, I don't know, 6 to 8 weeks. I don't think that's too much to ask. I also feel that we would be in a position at that point to perhaps make a larger one-time commitment of fund balance to this program. And the reason I think that would be desirable is because, as Martha and others have said to us, this is an opportunity that comes maybe once in a lifetime to make a transformative investment in our community. And the bigger the sum of money that we can commit at one time, the more impactful projects we might be able to fund. Maybe only one or two, but projects that would make a huge difference in our community. And I want to see that happen. So that's something that I want you all to be considering when you talk about making an annual contribution as opposed to making a one-time contribution to an ongoing program, which certainly we would want future legislatures to consider adding to if our fiscal situation and our fund balance would permit it. So this is really an issue about timing, in my mind. And then finally, I just want to say, you know, I've heard all of you say the purpose of the ARPA funds was community recovery. The purpose of the ARPA was certainly recovery. And there were lots of provisions in that act that distributed billions and trillions of dollars to other funding streams that were aimed at larger community recovery. But this particular fund, out of which we received our $19 million, was to assist county and local governments to make up for their lost revenues. So I don't feel particularly guilty about using it for county operations. And that is not to say that I don't support using some of our fund balance for larger community needs. It's just that let's be clear about why we're doing this. We're doing this particular thing because we have a really healthy fund balance and we understand that we need to give some of that back to a needy community. And then finally, let me just say that I am grateful to all of the people who've been on this legislature for 20 years or 5 years, who came before my cohort, who grew this fund that enabled us to survive this latest crisis in relatively good fiscal health. And I certainly don't want to leave this legislature with a fund balance that isn't equal to that challenge if and when it arises in the future. So that's all I got to say. So where would you all like to go now? Okay, we can form a committee. We can set aside a number. Martha?
Well, we don't have two members here, so I feel like a little reluctant to set a number, and Lisa's kind of asked us not to set a number.
Yep.
You know. In the meantime, a committee can work out what are the pros and cons of doing it this way versus that way versus that way. Can work out what does an application look like. There's a lot to do here that will be productive as Lisa and the staff get the budget together, et cetera. And in September, we'll probably have 14 members here, et cetera. So I think I would propose
moving forward with Annie's resolution.
Yeah, I mean, unless everybody wants to vote for $18 million, then.
So how does everyone feel about at least moving forward with Annie's resolution on next week's agenda? I know that those...
Straw poll?
Sure. Who's in favor, straw poll, of moving forward with Annie's resolution? Okay, so that's everyone but Rich.
So we're moving forward with it minus
and Glenn.
Money?
You're not in favor? Okay. So that's, well, that's, Mike?
I'm in favor of moving forward as a model, but I have some questions about, like, the committee structure.
Well, yeah, that's something I was going to get to. How many of these chairs do you think need to be on this committee? And have we left anybody off? Obviously, Lisa, can you provide the current budget analyst to assist this group?
Yes, I think that the level of support that is called for this type of committee, you know, a budget analyst can do a certain predefined set of tasks, and I think that you're probably looking at additional staff support as well, I would imagine.
I think initially not. I don't see that. I mean, to work out the parameters, I don't see
right.
The budget analyst is being needed.
Sure.
Okay. Leslin.
I would really be concerned. I hear what Lisa said, but I'm sorry. I would really be concerned of that, especially with someone who's coming on new and a new administrator trying to work through our own budget process right now. To add something else, that feels a little bit like overkill to me right now for that. But I'm going to yield to the county administrator, but I just have to get that off my chest.
Okay. Well, as Martha points out, initially, structuring a program, I don't know that we're going to need that much. I think where administrative support from your department, Lisa, is going to be particularly important is when we start actually evaluating proposals and seeing how they fit in with the county's operating budget. And that's a ways down the road. Martha?
As I understand it, you have envisioned that, or maybe you and Rich envisioned that, as going through program committees?
Yes.
Okay. So in a sense, it's just another piece of business that comes to a program committee.
Right.
Right.
Right. Goes to the program committees, they do the initial vetting, then it goes to the steering committee, then it goes to BCP, then
now,
it comes.
Why steering committee? I think it just goes to BCP.
Somebody besides BCP needs to, you know, what happens when we get $23 million worth of worthy proposals and we only have $10 million in the fund? Who makes the initial recommendations as to which one of those programs is more worthy than the others? And I don't think that's within BCP's area of expertise. Whereas if we have all the program committee chairs, they can duke it out. Anyway, so which committees do you all think need to be on this? Which committee chairs do you all think need to be on this steering committee? Dave?
I would just suggest that there's a reason why there's only about five people on a committee.
Yeah, I know.
So I would pick the five most applicable chairs.
Well,
that's,
I mean,
my point. No offense to anybody, it's just my point.
Well, no offense taken. I mean, obviously WDIC, because we're concerned about equity. I think obviously BCP, because it's a budget issue. And then the question is, which are the other three? HED, HHS, clearly. Peak, do we need Peak? What else?
I think government operations I don't see where that comes in. That's mostly county departments. If
right.
The library has a proposal, it can come to BCP or something.
Well, I hate to ace Amanda out when she's not here to defend herself. I mean, what are your thoughts on that, Rich? Because you've been on GO for quite a while.
I'm sitting here thinking, why not three legislators? What we're really doing is we're a committee supposedly making a decision, and we're saying, no, let's set up a committee to make that decision and come back to us and see if we like it. I think three people are going to have a better chance of actually meeting in a reasonable time and being able to hash out a proposal that we can kick around. I don't know that we need to tie ourselves to committee chairs. But with that said, I don't know that GO has to be on there. I don't want to speak for Amanda, because it would be her role, but I don't know.
Okay, Shauna and Leslie, did I see your hand, or did I just imagine that? Okay, so Shauna and then Leslie.
If this is just to come up with a process, I am so happy not being on this. I am not a details person. I don't, GO is not my thing. Like, I am happy not being on it, and I think three people coming up who are detail people would make me really happy.
Well, the problem is, as I see it, this committee is going to be an ongoing committee that's going to also be making recommendations with respect to the projects that we choose to fund. So I think it's important,
well,
if it's not you personally,
then
whoever
on
is chairing HHS.
Yeah.
Leslie.
I think Lisa wants to speak. I'll wait.
Oh, no. I just wanted to get in the queue.
Okay. I would say three people can do it. It'll be faster.
Okay.
And it can always come to any other group that we need to review it and to approve it, and it's going to go through many iterations. When you build the process, I think you'll see who needs to be in the room. But until the conversation begins, nine people slightly unwieldy, just saying.
Well, okay, so we're taking leadership out of it. We're taking GO out of it. I think the other people, I mean, I think the other five are important, but I don't know. Does anybody else have some thoughts about this? Lisa.
My thoughts may not be popular, but I want to say them anyway. Just in terms of process and structure, we have staff that we've utilized for this type of vetting process across various funding areas. I'm thinking tourism, I'm thinking housing, I'm thinking how we use the Human Services Coalition for the vetting process, that go through the initial applications, that ask the difficult questions, that weed out a lot of the initial pieces and bring forth to this body recommendations for further vetting, further question asking, and ultimately for the policy decisions. And I fear that having legislators doing that level of work in open session without the context of the staffing who may work professionally with these organizations on a day in and day out basis, sometimes for decades, you may miss some of the subtleties or fund projects that may otherwise have sources of funding that, you know, that aren't necessarily evident or things like that. So I understand your desire to do this quickly and with expediency, but I think that in terms of process and the building blocks and the professional expertise, we have staff in the county that could and probably should be a part of this process that that could do a lot of this work before bringing it to you. Now, that means then changing work programs and changing priorities staffing-wise. But in terms of process and in terms of outcome and equity in building that in, I think that's just important that I state that.
Okay, so Leslin and then Martha.
So Kathy just reminded me that we might want to give a check-in with Jonathan around what the charter says in terms of special committees and grandstanding committees and all of those things.
Well, the special committees can be appointed by the chair.
Yes, but it also there's also some language that, so let's just give a holler at him, let him know what it is we're doing, and make sure that we're good. That's all.
Yeah, I'm just not sure what we're doing.
I'm just saying that we really should check in.
Lisa raises a good point about the experience of staff, but does staff have the time to work on this?
Can I just...
Martha?
Lisa, did you mean to vet the applications after they come in, or did you mean to set up the process in the next month?
To set up a process and to vet the applications and to bring them to you for consideration.
I mean, what I think this mostly does is create the policy that then gets implemented, and it's just it's a matter of that, you know, five or six, however many people are going to get together and going to make a proposal to the legislature that we want to spend $7.5 million in this year and $2.5 million next year, and these are how we're going to divvy it up. Do you think staff needs to do that?
No, that's a policy level decision that I would see the legislature doing. But then in terms of the process of, I guess, vetting the applications and moving forward. Yes.
So in order, when we're planning how to build in the process, you know, you send out a call for applications on this day, and then they go to staff on that day, and then they go to, you know, to the program committee. That sort of thing, that's where you see the staff needing to be involved. Is that right?
I would see value in that, yes.
Okay. All right. So, but to get this started, we can at least... Okay. And I think what we have said before is we understand... I understand nothing happens without the staff. It's like we sit here and we don't have actually hands to do anything. It's the staff that does everything. But that this is a priority is what we're saying. And, you know, and again, we voted on the ARPA money to do what we're doing with ARPA, because we plan to do something like this. Okay, thank you.
Okay, I've got Mike Lane and then Shauna.
I certainly support what Lisa just suggested, that we really need to bring our staff in. That's where our professionalism is here. There was a time when something like this, we would immediately turn to the planning department and say, you know, they're the ones with experience in handling grants of all kinds and making sure that the I's are dotted and the T's are crossed. And that's the kind of thing we need. And, I mean, that's going to be up to the administrator, but I'm sure the same issue is in the human services agencies and also in our social services agencies, where they have that, you know, really good expertise and institutional memory about things. So I think that's great. Martha, I saw you kind of slip in $7.5 million here.
I was trying to come up with like an oddball number.
You got to watch her every minute.
Thank you, dear.
Okay, Shauna.
Yeah, I think as far as HHS agencies that report to that committee, I would prefer all of them to be streamlined to the Human Services Coalition. They work with all of the nonprofits, or many of the nonprofits in our community, and I would love for them to vet everything and then come forth with recommendations typical of what they do for our budget process. So just wanted to put that out there for you. I think that would provide me with the most comfort.
The wrinkle is there is if they want to apply themselves.
I'm sorry?
The wrinkle there is if HSC wants to apply itself. So,
yeah. Mike?
I wanted to say that I agree with this. I agree with a smaller committee.
Okay. All right. Well, maybe you'll just take volunteers. Annie?
So I do appreciate and, you know, concur with our county administrator, Lisa, was saying regarding we have departments and staff that have expertise in setting these up. So I think maybe by, I don't know if next week, you, Lisa, or somebody would be willing to take a look at the language in this, because this kind of says that they're going to set up, you know, the particulars. It actually says in there what are the particulars. So that it could be something that, you know, figure out what part would be legislators, what part would be staff. Is that something that you or someone could help with?
Could work on it and come up with a proposal or recommendation to bring back to you all for consideration, I suppose.
Sure. Okay, I got Henry and Martha.
Yes, isn't the city, through Tom Knight, developing a process to take their applications in? I'm talking to Martha.
didn't you talk to Katie before she went
yes.
on her break? One, you know better than I. She gave me a 2-minute thumbnail, but
yes, the city had a forum and a process for considering applications for ARPA funds for economic development. Yes, through Tom.
Okay, so we have a model to work off in theory. Okay.
Well, I guess. Then the question is, do we need Annie's resolution at all? That's number one. Number two, yes, Martha, I see your hand. And number two, you know, the particulars that we really need to nail down with this are how much money, when, and how we're going to allocate it among the various committees. I don't know that we need a formal committee for that. Martha.
I'm so tired of trying to do these things on email. I do think we need people to sit in a room. And I think what I see is we got WDIC, BCP, HED, HHS, and PEAK. That's a lot of alphabet numbers. You know, if Mike Sigler wants to come too, then... I think that group could...
I think Shauna resigned from this group.
I had to go back on.
She's back on. We waited long
enough.
At any
rate, I think if we... If we try to plan the future, it gets more complicated. If we can just kind of get this group that's going to develop the process, as you said, the timing, the money, and how to allocate it.
Do we need a resolution for that, or can that group just get together and duke it out?
Well, isn't it more legitimate if we've got a resolution?
Yeah, isn't it? Kathy?
What? Well, I don't think a resolution is necessary if a group of legislators want to get together to discuss more of the details of this resolution.
Yeah, I mean, you had five people on this member filed. Why? That's not a committee, but I mean, you still came up with a resolution.
I mean, unless if I hear differently, this resolution is still going to appear on the legislature agenda for next Tuesday. Maybe there'll be a revised version come Tuesday night. But.
Yeah, one thing I would say is that it's a resolution creating a community recovery fund program steering committee, not creating a program.
Now, it does say, look at the first resolve, that the county administrator is hereby directed and authorized to create a community recovery fund.
Right.
With funds taken from the fund, unassigned fund.
But
balance.
The specifics of the program were supposed to be generated by this committee that you're creating.
If the idea here was to institutionalize the thing, to show that the legislature is making a decision to set up a community recovery fund.
Okay.
Which I think kind of needs a vote at some point, whether that, you know, this sets up a community fund. That's the title. The committee is tasked with coming back with the details that aren't in here.
To develop the particulars of a fair and broadly accessible program. Okay. I if that makes you happy, that's fine. I've got... Rich and Dave.
I'm afraid to ask this question, but because Shauna said she wanted to be back on the committee.
Would you like to be on it too?
Well, no, I don't. But my clarification I'm hoping to get is that if public safety isn't on the steering committee, does that obviate the ability to have, say, a project involving rural ambulance or emergency communications? Which clearly are, you know. Is the steering committee trying to catch the greatest number of potential projects because they're going to go to those committees? Or is it, that's why I was saying maybe three people could do it, because what you're really looking for is let's get a process. And maybe a steering committee comes out of that for vetting, but I don't know if that's what you want or not. But I don't want to be left behind, I guess.
Are you having FOMO?
Almost reverse FOMO, but...
Well, that's a good question. One of the things that I've discussed about this problem with Annie and Martha and Shauna and others at various times is how broadly can we define these categories so that we don't exclude anyone who comes up with a worthy project and should be given full consideration? And how flexible are these allocations? Because as Annie said, we want to be as flexible as possible. We don't want to have to say no to anybody because we allocated, you know, $500,000 less to that project's category than they need to make something really wonderful work. And again, this is part of the myriad details that this steering committee would be dealing with in setting up the program. I don't know if that answers your question.
I don't know.
Probably not.
We can have an other category.
Well, but is the purpose of this steering committee that we're going to set up to go off and create a process or to be the ongoing committee?
Well, I had imagined it would be the ongoing committee, but Lisa's suggestion threw a spanner in those works. I think this is something that this working group or steering committee is going to have to figure out.
I think we can add folks if we realize after folks come back with something and we think that we need to add a couple more people.
Can you speak in mic?
That we can do that. Sorry.
But thinking clearly about what you want to accomplish, do you want three or do you want six on that group? You quickly become unwieldy.
I'm with three and a half.
Okay. I have Dave and then Martha and Henry. Did you have your hand up or were you just caressing your microphone?
Leslie, you have to raise your hand higher.
Oh, yeah, you do. Okay, and then Leslie.
Okay, I guess it's my turn.
Okay.
Anyway, I was just going to remind people that, three or four years ago we came up with this community grant thing of $50,000 that basically was managed by Katie. And I don't see any reason why that same system can't be used to do this. Maybe just a group to set up the bylaws of whatever that's going to be judged on, but I think it can all be done through planning.
I would not in a million years commit Katie and her down one staff to that additional obligation, because I will tell you this, as you remember, Dave.
I know, she'll take my head off for this.
Well, no, but she also.
That was Dave McKenna that said that.
Yeah, and he lives at. She also told us that it was a hell of a lot of work for her staff. I mean, a lot of work.
Well, one of the things that I was thinking was you were originally talking about adding a person, and I can't think of a department that needs a person worse than planning.
They've been trying to hire somebody, and it's been hard, yeah. I would strongly oppose any effort to unload this program on a department that's not here to defend itself. Okay. So, Martha and Leslie.
I think Leslie had her hand up a couple days before
Go ahead.
Thanks. I just wanted to say it was really helpful to hear from Lisa. That helped reorganize my thinking about this. So, I think the challenge here is that our charge is to set the policy and have the fiduciary oversight. And those are the really hard bits that we can't come to a conclusion on, so we're jumping into the process where we're going to depend heavily on staff that know what they're doing to run this. And if it runs one time, it's still going to be a big deal. If it runs three times, you might finally learn how to do it by the end of year three as a staff person. There's definitely a role for the legislators here. I am not sure why it's tied necessarily. Like, the more I'm thinking about it, I don't think it has to be tied to particular chairs of particular committees. I think that worthy projects can come through the committee even if the chair wasn't on any kind of steering committee. I think it would be really helpful if we pick a number, if we pick a timeline, and, I've already stated where I stand on that, and start moving forward with that and devise what we think the staff level of need would be to manage something. And then legislators could have a role, as they do in many committees, in participating in whether it's grant reviews or thinking about how to work with the community on this and outreach or whatever. But I think it was really clarifying to hear from Lisa that those are our successful
initiatives, and that's when staff are focused on it and they can do it daily and they can spend the time necessary to do the hand-holding, which is going to be required to start an entire new process like this, to put out there and expect that community organizations that may have varying levels of professionalism but might have a real need and could be making a big difference, but they might need some help. I don't know who it is. I'm not going to assign any individuals. Katie's away right now, so now's a good time to call on her. But, yeah, the more I'm thinking about it, a small group.
That was Leslie Schill.
Yeah, that's right. Hi, Katie. I still think a small group could be really helpful in working with the staff to do that. My thoughts.
Okay. Martha and then Annie.
Yeah, I think we're getting hung up with the ongoing committee. I think we should move ahead with this group of five or six or whatever to set up the process. And the process that they propose should include what does the ongoing oversight look like. So I don't think this steering committee has to live longer than a month, you know. Just bring something forward to the legislature. And that should include how does this work and how does it fit with committee work and staff and legislators together. I think we're getting really hung up on a committee that would have two different functions here. There's setting this up and there's ongoing. And I don't think we should consider the ongoing role at this point. That's part of the charge of how of the proposal that would be brought forward.
And my point is simply that if you only envision a group of people that's going to bring a proposal to the September legislature and that's the sum total of their function in their existence, I don't think we need a resolution for that.
No, but we need a resolution that gives that grid, you know, that sets up the fund, that says we're going to do a fund, and this group of people has legitimacy to bring forth a proposal. I mean, that sort of puts the imprimatur of the whole legislature behind the work that they're doing. You know, it's not five rogue people just going off to make up something.
But I'd like some other people's thoughts on this. Henry.
Yes, I think the issue of splitting the creation of the committee, creation of things versus the vetting is going to be very important. I think that because we have the OTF process, we have the STPV process, we have the Human Services Coalition process, we have the Community Housing Fund process, we have lots of processes, but we all have some kind of standard that we can apply. What's going to be the standard to apply, whether in this case?
Are you talking about the standard for setting up the plan, or are you talking about the standard for recommending
grant? Yes, because, we'll have, for OTRs, we'll have Lisa recommend OTRs or not recommend OTRs. So we have a basis. But in this case, we won't have a basis. I assume that we'll have, how we judge one project versus another project. And is it going to just be the three or five legislators that are going to decide what those... Right. And so... So I see that as a concern of how are we going to set up the standards. And again, staff can do it. We have to direct staff what's important.
Well, how would you propose that we do that?
I am not sure.
Well, there you go. And Martha was talking about splitting those two functions.
Right.
So that would leave us with no process. And I guess then that it would be up to this steering committee to come up with process.
Yeah, this group would recommend the ongoing process.
The type of process.
Right.
Creating another committee. Okay. Shauna.
Yeah, I envision it. This group meets together, comes up with the process, and that is their goal. They're done after that. Ideally, it would be amazing if we could hire one agency to take in all of the applications, to present them to all 14 of us and then for us to figure it out in that meeting, similar to what we do for the budget. That way, everyone has equal information. All agencies that apply have an equal voice, because I've seen kind of what's happening is you have some agencies who already have their packets ready. You know, we're handing them out. And then you have other agencies that have never even heard of ARPA funding who might equally be interested in those funds or really need those funds. And so if we have an agency, and I'm just throwing some out, Community Foundation, Human Services Coalition, I don't care who it is, but have an agency that can accept applications, that could vet them, make sure that we have equal information at our hands, maybe in a packet form. We set a few nights aside. We hash out the funding that we want to do. I mean, that seems like the fairest way, and let's just nail it out. So that's my thought.
Hey, I'm just the facilitator here. You know, it's up to y'all. The only resolution or proposal that we have, I see you, Mike, is this one that Annie's introduced. You know, if there's an alternative, if we don't like this, then what do you all suggest? And I guess that's what I'm asking you. Mike, and then Rich.
I think we've batted this around long enough. One of the jobs of our chair is to appoint committees. I think we should say that she's heard the discussion. We need this short-term committee, and I think we should leave it in her hands.
No pressure. Not whatsoever.
Mike said what I was going to say.
Martha.
Well, it's on the agenda. I mean, I guess I still feel like there should be a vote that establishes this fund. But Shauna, that's kind of an interesting idea. And I think, like, the Community Foundation might actually be the right organization. And
how much would that cost us?
A fraction of the money that we're...
No, I understand that, but every penny that we pay to somebody to administer this is money we can't provide
5%
to...
5% typically, right?
How much?
I don't know. That sounds like a lot.
It is a lot, but if they're going to...
I don't know. That's something that this ad hoc committee could work on. Okay,
we got Kathy, we got Leslin.
Again, I just want to, you know, reiterate what Leslin said earlier, that, you know, you're creating an official committee here, and there are rules in open meetings law that would need to be followed. So,
I understand the open meetings law thing. Yeah, if we create an official committee, yes. Right. Leslin, you had something to say?
I did. Before Mike Lane said what he said, I was trying to get us out of the
microphone.
Before Mike Lane said what he said, I was trying to get us out of the weeds, and I was going to suggest Rich, Sean, and Mike Sigler for the committee. But then Shauna gave me a real nasty look when I sort of said my thoughts out loud. But I'll think on it some more if that's what you want me to do. I mean, I put that out there, and if anybody has any objections to that, then, you know, say that. Otherwise, that'll be the committee to go forward in putting together whatever.
Can you say it once more?
And all legislators always have an opportunity to show up at the meetings and, you know, have input. Well, that's what I was going to suggest.
Shauna, Leslin, can you say that one more time? Is it, who is the committee?
Curly, Larry, and Mo. Rich, Mike Sigler, and Shauna.
Trees and potholes it is.
That was my suggestion. I was just leaving it at that as this starting committee, not the other group that's going to do all the vetting and so on.
Martha.
Yeah, I'm not comfortable with that. So.
Hate trees.
I hate trees.
Trees. I know. Lord. Tree hater.
Did I miss something?
Well, my inclination, if we were going to have a committee of three, I don't have a problem with Rich and Mike Sigler. I think that the two—no offense, Shauna—but the two areas where there's going to be the most competition for grant funding are going to be economic development and social services. So if we're going to have a committee that designs a completely fair and even process, I think neither Martha nor Shauna should be on that committee. No offense, Martha, either.
Pick a person. I don't care. Rich, Mike Sigler, Leslie Schill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, see, you got a dog in the fight. Or a horse in the barn.
I think that'd be great.
You know.
Yeah, I'm good with that.
I'm good with that.
The only thing we have to do, I think, is double check with Jonathan.
Right.
To make sure that that's okay. And if that suits everyone, then that's how we can proceed, and we don't need this resolution for the time being. And we can incorporate this language when Rich and Mike and Leslie get back to us with a firmer proposal. Does that work for everyone?
Once that's done and the legislature agrees to it, then we have the larger group, which is probably five or more members,
right,
who will then be vetting and carrying on with.
Well, and then we will have some time to check with the staff members that our county administrator has so boldly volunteered.
That was Deborah Dawson volunteering Lisa Holmes to volunteer somebody else.
So, is that good with everybody?
But remind me again, you're saying Rich and Leslie and Mike Sigler?
Rich, Leslie, and Mike Sigler?
Yeah.
And I was listening.
Leslie, your microphone, please.
Rich John, Leslie Schill, Mike Sigler, as this initial committee working on a proposal to bring to the legislature for moving this forward.
And I mean, we have the resolution on the agenda for tomorrow, for next week, in case we decide we need to establish a fund. We don't have, you know, we can work on this if you.
The only caveat to it is me checking with Jonathan.
Right.
Sure, if it's, we can. Yeah,
okay.
The way we did.
Annie.
I just want to say quickly that, in case folks don't know, I believe Leslie Schill was here and helped set up the Community Housing Fund initially years ago when you worked for the county. Is that correct?
I've done it for a long time.
Yeah,
okay.
Well, but this should be a piece of cake, Leslie.
We're going to have this to you before the end of the night. People check in.
Hey, that's great.
All
right.
That's a kind of can-do attitude.
Sounds good.
Adjourned.
Thank you all. I know for many of you it's been a long day.